This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, so LifeLock wants to remind you to update your passwords. Using the same password across multiple accounts makes you vulnerable to cybercriminals. For comprehensive identity theft protection, let LifeLock alert you to anything suspicious and fix any issues. Start protecting your identity today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
It couldn't have been any closer. Two passive calls apiece. The score tied 1-1. It came down to a referee's decision, and Angle had the last shot. That might have been the turning point in this referee's decision. A hard-fought match by both.
Wow, and that was it. Kurt Angle's life would change forever and for the better, and you earn it, especially in his sport that he chose, arguably the hardest out there. Olympic gold medalist, WWE Hall of Famer, motivational speaker, Kurt Angle. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me on the show, Brian.
Set the scene for what we just heard, Kurt.
Oh, God, man, that brings back great memories. That defined my whole life, that Olympic gold medal win. It's something that it wasn't just me working so hard to attain, my family, too. I mean, it was a team effort, and we all had our roles in what we needed to do to accomplish that. And when I finally did it, it was like, it was the greatest feeling in the world. And, you know, the crazy thing is the next day I woke up and I'm like, what do I do now?
Right. amateur. I mean, because what you do is in the Olympics at that time. What year, what games were we talking
1996.
About?
1996.
Could you earn money back then? They put you at Home Depot or something?
No. You know, the only thing I could get, and I got a couple endorsements after the Olympics, but as far as a future, a pro league, there was nothing like that.
Right.
It was difficult because it was a little depressing. The next day, you know, I'm thinking, what do I do now? Because I was so focused on winning a gold medal, and that was my entire life. And now I have nothing. And, you know, I know I could ride the endorsement train for a few more years and make some money on endorsements, but where do I go now? And at the time, UFC wasn't really that popular. It was more of a cult. I would say it was popular to a certain degree of people, but it wasn't mainstream. And my only other choice at that time to be, if I wanted to be an athlete, was WWF, WWE.
Right. You started at WWF, but you didn't have to work your way to the small venues. You were Kurt Angle Olympic champion.
Yeah. You know what, though? They made me go through the process. I had to do a territory where I worked in Memphis for about 5 months.
Because you had to learn it.
Yeah. And I was doing shows where there were 30 people in the crowd, you know, so I had to learn the techniques. I had to learn in-ring psychology, good guy versus bad guy. The bad guy cheats and gets a good guy down. The good guy makes a comeback. And does a good guy overcome the cheating and win, or does a bad guy cheat and win? So the whole in-ring psychology thing was really difficult.
So before we get to that, I want you to hear Kurt Angle moments after your victory and bring us back to that moment in 96, Cup 42.
What can you say about this moment? I've worked for this moment all my life. I can't believe it happened. It's the best feeling I've ever had.
I saw you kneel on the mat and pray. Were you talking to your dad?
Oh, yeah. My dad's always with me. Dave Schultz, my Uncle Fred, my aunt, my grandmother. They're all together pulling for me, rooting for me up there. I knew they were with me. I wasn't sure if I won. This is the best thing that's ever happened to me. I can't believe this. All I wanted to do is win a world championship and an Olympic gold medal. And I did them both. If I died tonight, I'd be the happiest man in the world. I love you, Mom. I did that one for you.
What did you say to your dad?
I just said, thanks, Dad, for watching over me. He's always there. There's no doubt about it. I love him so much.
You beat the Iranian, which helps. And what was going on in your family at the time?
My dad passed away when I was in high school. So I dedicated my athletic career to him. And my family became closer because of that. And we became a unit, and we started, it wasn't just me out there representing myself. It was me representing my family. Because my brothers were all wrestlers, they taught me wrestling. My sister was involved. She was an athlete. She taught me a lot of different sports. My mother and father were both sports-oriented. We were a sports family, and we took a lot of pride in that. So me winning the Olympic gold medal was icing on top of the cake.
Right. That's just amazing to go through that and have that moment. That's what people say about the Olympics more than anything else. Because let's say you're a pro and you have a great year, you're 23 years old, you got 10 more years.
Yes,
but with the Olympics, that's the moment. Swimming, wrestling, things that are Olympics known, even those world championships like that. And it's almost you go through a depression. Michael Phelps talked about that.
Yeah.
That, you know, you work so hard, you have this single focus, and then you just feel like, was it worth it? What do I do? So for you personally, you're healthy, you're athletic. Was there any reluctance to go to WWE?
Yes. Actually, they offered me a multi-million-dollar deal in 1996. Vince McMahon gave it to me, and he gave me the contract, told me to take it home and think about it because I was a little hesitant because as growing up as an amateur wrestler, you're taught you're the real deal. WWF, WWE is fake. People think that pro wrestling is the WWE and that amateur wrestling is the lower ranks. But, you know, so we took a – we were like in the shadow of the WWE all the time. You know, so if someone said, hey, Kurt, what do you do? I said, I'm a wrestler. Oh, you're one of those wrestlers on TV. I'm like, no, I'm a real wrestler. I'm an Olympic wrestler. So, it was really difficult for me to make the transition to the WWE because so many people were against it because my family were amateur wrestlers and my friends were amateur wrestlers. And it was like, what are you doing?
Right.
I was like, I'm just... opening up a new career, basically.
And did you like it?
I loved it. I loved it. I fell in love with it.
As much as amateur wrestling?
More.
You like the showmanship part.
I love the showmanship, yeah. And I didn't even know if I had it. I didn't know if I was able to be entertaining or funny or exciting or intense. I knew I could be intense, but to show all these different emotions in WWE and have the reaction from the fans that I had such a great rapport with them, whether I was a good guy or a bad guy. You know, it was like when I was a bad guy, they were booing me, but they were kind of like winking at me, you know, hey, you're entertaining, you're funny, we enjoy it, but we're still booing you.
Right.
I really fell in love with it. And the time when I had to retire, that became very depressing as well.
What was it like wrestling with The Rock?
Oh, The Rock was such an athlete. He was a thoroughbred, and he taught me a lot because he was my first world title. I was only in the business at that point in time. I started on TV 10 months prior, so I was in my rookie year when I beat The Rock for the world title. And beating one of the biggest stars in the history of the business was huge for me. It made me into a superstar.
Here it is, cut 43. Kurt Angle wins his first championship against The Rock. Where was it?
That was in Albany, New York. Yeah, I'll never forget that night. That was one of the most important matches of my career. It was so crucial for me to become world champion, to know that the company could ride on my coattails and that I could lead the company. To have faith in me like that is just an incredible feeling.
So how did The Rock take it?
Oh, The Rock, he was great.
He knew we wanted the movies at that point. He was in the movies.
Yes, yes. He just signed a five-picture deal. And, yeah, he was okay with that. And as a matter of fact, I believe the reason why they made Rock the world champion is so that I could eventually beat him. And so it was to make me. Rock didn't need to become champion at that point.
He was already famous.
Yeah,
he
had everything. And me beating him made me a bigger star.
How hard do you have to work out to do that? And you almost have to be a gymnast. I mean, I look at the flexibility. Yeah. It's not so much being like, you can be strong and you can be tough. Yeah. That really is not, that's to me, it looks to be a third of it. Because you've got to be able to do all these
things. You have to be flexible. You have to be very athletic. That's the reason why I joined. I remember back in 1998, I started watching Raw because I turned that contract down in 96. And I started watching Raw and I was like, these guys are incredible athletes. I never saw it before. I saw a little bit of Bruno Sammartino back when I was a kid.
I used to watch that.
Yeah.
I used to watch Bruno Sammartino, Stan Hansen, Bugsy McGraw, Ivan Koloff, that whole era.
Yeah, the legends, yeah. So I was just like, I couldn't believe how athletic these guys were, and I was like, I could see myself doing this. But I honestly didn't think I could be entertaining. I thought that they were going to hire me. They were going to have me just wrestle. I wouldn't cut promos. I was just going to be a wrestler. But that didn't, that wasn't it. They didn't, they had different plans for me. Oh my gosh, it's Tyrus.
Here it is. Ladies and gentlemen, Tyrus has entered the radio show to meet with his buddy Kurt Angle. And they could go. At any moment, they could go. They could go.
All I needed.
Did you? Really?
Oh, yeah. I'm so, in trouble smiling during the Angle slam.
Right. So let me ask you something. You had to rejigger your schedule to do this. That's how important you are, Kurt.
Oh,
this guy
man.
Was not available. And he says no. When we said Kurt Angle's coming in.
Look, I didn't hang up on him when he called.
So tell me about the history here. First off, tell me what kind of wrestler he was.
First of all, he is the American story. Not just what you did for the country in the Olympics, not what you just did in wrestling, but his redemption, the things that you came back for, are just as powerful as the stuff you did in the ring. So I have a huge heart for this man. My greatest story with Kurt is probably my baddest decision as a professional wrestler. So we're in Europe, and wrestling Kurt is one of the sweetest joys of my life, mainly because he was my brother's favorite. And I was beating up on him. I was able to send texts like, who's your favorite now? But he was the one guy who could leave the WWE and fans would follow. When he went to TNA, him and Samoa Joe, that feud was as big as anything in the WWE. And no other superstar had done that. Hogan didn't do that when he went to WCW. We were like, okay, he's there. But when he went, he took a company, lifted up. So when I went to Impact, I was excited, and at the same time, he came back, and we got to work a few times in tag matches, and we're in Europe, and he's wrestling probably 2-3 times a day. His neck and back are just about gone.
Because you broke your neck how many times?
Five.
5 times you broke your
neck?
But
he is the guy who will, like, let's go. Doesn't matter what the situation is. You'd see him hunched over in the back, hurting, icing, piles and stuff on him, and as soon as, oh, is it time to go? And then you drag what's, and then as soon as you get in the ring, you got Kurt Angle.
What does that feel like, him saying this?
It
looks like
honor.
You were trying to remember.
I mean, you know, to have your peers look up to you like that, it's an incredible feeling. You know, I really didn't understand. A lot of people say this about me, and it's like, I really didn't think I was, you know, that good. You know,
right.
But milk drinking cool.
He's all American. That's what he's got to have.
Given with all the heat now on lactose and dairy, the fact that he was still able to make it cool, I think that speaks volume. It wasn't like they handed him a beer or a bottle of Jack Daniels. Understand?
Part of my gimmick.
Yeah. Whole milk, even the skim.
I want to come back and have some more time with Tyrus and Kurt Angle, but as we leave, would you play out Eric Cut 46?
I think I'm too. I got no metal. I got the moves that makes them all tap out. The Angle slam, the Angle lock, Marty Jannetty still can't walk. I'm just a sexy Kurt.
Sexy Kurt.
I'll make your ankle hurt.
Ankle hurt.
I'm just a sexy Kurt.
Sexy Kurt.
I'll make your ankle hurt.
Ankle hurt.
Woo! That's right, Sonny.
This episode is brought to you by LifeLock. October is Cybersecurity Awareness Month, so LifeLock wants to remind you to update your passwords. Using the same password across multiple accounts makes you vulnerable to cybercriminals. For comprehensive identity theft protection, let LifeLock alert you to anything suspicious and fix any issues. Start protecting your identity today with a 30-day free trial at LifeLock.com/podcast. Terms apply.
Have you heard you can listen to your favorite news podcasts ad-free? Good news. With Amazon Music, you have access to the largest catalog of ad-free top podcasts included with your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/ad-free news podcasts. That's amazon.com/ad-free news podcasts to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Kurt Angle's got some more quality time with us. Olympic gold medalist, WWE Hall of Famer, celebrated motivational speaker. He's also helping out wrestling, you know, Olympic wrestling. They got to make their own way. He's trying to get them some funding so that they can compete at the highest level and remain the best. KurtAngle.org is how to do it. Tyrus rearranged the schedule for Kurt. He wouldn't do it for me. I've asked him many times. He doesn't do it, Kurt. But for you personally, you just touched on this. You said things that Kurt has been through. You were dealing with a painkiller situation.
Yes, I was.
You broke your neck 5 times.
Yeah, and then the first time was before the Olympics, and but the second time was when I was in WWE in 2003. And the day that I broke my neck, I was hooked up with a doctor, and he introduced me to painkillers, and I never had them before. And I just want people to understand how dangerous they are. They're very addictive, and they can kill you. And I was taking Werner every 4 to 6 hours. And after a while, your body builds a tolerance, and one doesn't work anymore. And then you have to take two. And two led to four, or four led to eight. Before I knew it, I was taking 65 extra strength Vicodin in a day. I was in deep trouble. And I couldn't kick it. I couldn't kick the habit. And I literally, I had to leave the WWE. They were working me so much, and I had this painkiller problem, and I just felt I needed to get out before I did something tragic to myself.
Tyrus, did you know this was going on? Do you know something was up?
I also can elate that his experience has helped the next generation, my generation especially, because I've been pretty fortunate to where I really never had injuries, but most athletes, we rather listen to our bodies. That's why he wasn't taking painkillers when he's an amateur wrestler, because it's like grinding a tank. If you got bad tread on your knees and you numb it up, you don't know if you're doing any more damage. So then when you get to the point where you start taking that, I had an issue with my hip, and they gave me an epidural. They're like, hey, take these at night so you can sleep. Within a week, I was like, holy shit, I can't take these anymore.
Yeah.
Like, it's that, and I thought of, especially Kurt and other guys before us that didn't necessarily have the education, and at the same time trying to provide for your family. And the thing, well, just take one. Everyone does it. So it can easily lead to other things. That's why his greatness is that not only was he able to beat it, he was able to turn it around. And a lot of guys wouldn't have done that. The risk of walking away from the WWE, there's no guarantee of coming back. He put his family first, and I think that's the greatest thing about Kurt Angle. Besides all his accolades, like anybody who needs to learn about what to do when you fall from grace, this man is a walking benediction of that.
And, of course, he was champion WWF, and he, 98 to 2006, four-time champ overall. Then you won the WCW and six-time TNA world champion. But, Kurt, they're doing a movie on your life.
Yeah, I have a real-life movie that we're working on right now. The directors are really talented. Their names are Ian and Eshon Nelms. They've done great movies like Fat Man starring Mel Gibson and Red Right Hand starring Orlando Bloom and many other films. So I'm really excited about having these guys be a part of my Olympic story. And it's not going to be anything that I did in the WWE. This is just for my Olympic story.
Gotcha.
And so it's a movie. It's going to have that Rocky type of feel with a touch of a
fighter. Does it really
fighter.
Happen?
Yeah. It's real life. Yeah.
Who'd you wrestle at? What weight?
I wrestled at 100 kilograms, 220 pounds. I weighed 200, though.
Right.
And I was always underweight.
And you just said something in passing I can't believe. So he's 5'11". What did you wrestle at, 250?
I wrestled at about 210.
Yeah, 210. He ballooned
he
his
was
weight.
Able to.
I never had to balloon my weight. He ballooned his
But
weight.
When you wrestled at WWE, you were how much?
I went up to about 235.
235. He was able to get you in the air and throw you?
Yeah. Listen, the reason why Brian's asking this is Brian also wrestled me on live television.
Oh, really?
We're very similar.
Except we called it a shoot. He wanted to call it out there. It was a great ratings moment. For
people
me,
still talk about that.
Yeah, it was all downhill once the bell rang.
But he was. But you're being honest. He was able to get you in the air and throw you.
Yeah, he's Kurt.
I mean, that's unbelievable.
He's Kurt freaking Angle. Yeah.
Right. I mean, that's fantastic. Do you remember who was before you as the All-American?
Ken
Patera, wasn't it?
Ken Patera was one
that's
of them.
That's what I remember.
Jim Duggan was
Hacksaw
one of them.
Hacksaw Jim Duggan was, yeah.
But he was the first gold medal. Well, Mark Henry to a certain extent.
Yeah, Mark being an Olympian, yes.
KurtAngle.org. That's how to help Olympic wrestling.
Finding
Thanks so much,
USA Wrestling. Thank you.
From the Fox News Podcasts Network, subscribe and listen to the Trey Gowdy Podcast. Former federal prosecutor and four-term U.S. congressman from South Carolina brings you a one-of-a-kind podcast. Subscribe and listen now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.